An estimated 7 million South Sudanese fleeing violence in their land are at risk of severe food insecurity this year. Despite the signing of a cessation of hostilities agreement on the 23rd of January this year, violent clashes between the SPLA and opposition forces loyal to former Vice President Riek Machar have continued unabated in many states. The South Sudan Council of Churches sent a delegation to the second phase of peace talks in Addis Ababa in February, where they called for further humanitarian aid and civilian protection and the need for an inclusive dialogue process to address the deeply rooted issues at the heart of the conflict. Meanwhile, as Christian Aid's Adrian Ouvry told Linda Bordoni, humanitarian workers are struggling in a battle against time to access remote areas of the country where people are most in need before the rainy season arrives in late March or early April.
Since the formal signing of a peace agreement in Addis Ababa in January, unfortunately, that had very little impact on the levels of fighting at ground level. And so since then, there's been ongoing clashes, particularly in the north and the east of the country, in Unity, Jonglei, and Upper Nile states, which has led to further displacement. There are peace talks due to resume in about a week's time from now in Addis Ababa, but there's not huge expectations that those are going to deliver a ceasefire on the ground. And in the meantime, very large numbers of people displaced, including refugees, it's probably topped a million now. And the worrying thing is not just about what the current needs are, but about the risk of a forthcoming famine, because right now is when the planting season should be in full swing. The rains will be coming, and once the rains come, if planting hasn't taken place, then there'll be floods making areas inaccessible. And by the time we have the harvest in sort of November, December, if planting hasn't happened, then there'll be a potential high risk of famine facing much of the country at that point.
You mentioned 1 million displaced people. Are we talking about internally displaced people? Are we talking about people who are spilling over the borders into Uganda, I think, as well?
That's right. So overall, the latest figures from the UN and that we're hearing on the ground are from 700 to 800,000 internally displaced. And then the numbers who have gone cross-border. So in addition to that 700,000 to 800,000, we've got about 220,000 who have become refugees in neighboring countries. And that number is going up by well over 1,000 a day. So yes, Uganda, the largest recipient of refugees so far, but there's a large number going to Ethiopia, Kenya and Sudan as well.
Adrian, you describe the difficulties that are foreseen with delivering aid because of the rainy season that is about to begin. What about insecurity? How dangerous is it for your people on the ground in the area?
It is very dangerous, and that's been what's preventing a lot of access to the many, many people that need help. Even the UN, with their high logistics capacity, are finding it very, very difficult to access many of these areas because of the fighting. There were at least 3 aid workers killed in recent months by unidentified armed elements. A lot of looting of humanitarian assets and supplies. And so whilst there's a lot of adaptation going on amongst humanitarian actors, including Christian Aid and our local partners, of course there's a huge constraint on how far we can access populations as a result of that insecurity, and including concern about safety for our own staff.
I also understand that many of the people who are displaced are not in camps, but they're still hiding and they're not easily reachable. That's women, children, old people.
That's right, exactly. So they're dispersed over a wide area and they're deliberately keeping a low profile in many cases to avoid being detected by armed groups from opposite ethnicities. And so whilst there are still around 100,000 or so who are relatively easy to identify and access because they're clustered near the UN bases seeking protection, the majority, so well over 700,000, are hard to access because they're not concentrated in particular areas. So it's not like there's obvious refugee or IDP camp areas that agencies just simply need to get to.
You mentioned rain because people will have to plant if planting happens before the rains start. But rain also brings disease like malaria and the spread of other diseases in the camps especially.
That's right, exactly. So, you know, for those refugees who are in camps, there's that issue to contend with. And we're very concerned about the general provision of camps and supporting those who are in those areas. And for those that aren't, or those who are trapped in places cut off by floods, we're concerned about how they're going to get through the next few months and then beyond that as well, especially that even if they return to their homes, their harvest is likely to be meager at best because they haven't had a chance to plant. But we are hoping that through some of the great work of our local partners and many of the other agencies that are doing their best under difficult circumstances, that the worst of the crisis can be averted. But the outlook is not very positive at the moment, to say the least.
No, it sounds absolutely desperate. What can we do to help?
Well, I think the most appropriate thing to do at the moment is to try and support agencies that are working in the country, because there's a lot of unfunded appeals going on, especially not just with the UN, but amongst individual agencies, including Christian Aid and other church partners and so forth, who are doing the best that they can. So donating money to agencies that are working in South Sudan would be the best way of trying to help them do their best to meet the humanitarian needs of displaced people in the country.
Thank you very, very much, Adrian. Is there anything else you want to say?
No, except that although the outlook's bleak, we are hoping that the peace talks that start on 20th of March might yield some results. So fingers crossed, and with lots of advocacy and support from the international community, that if those peace agreements can be made to stick, that might lead to an improvement in the political situation, but we're not holding our breath.